The following program is from our Compassion Radio archives and originally aired in the spring of 2013.
Make a decision. Don't put it off, because today is all we have. This moment is all we have. God forbid the Lord had you have your final day today.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. In today's conversation, we're going to hear a very personal story of heartbreak, tragedy, and loss, but also of deep abiding joy and peace amidst it all, told by a young woman who's truly been there, done that. She's also a friend of mine, and I'm grateful that she was able to visit with us recently at our Compassion Radio studio. Here's Norm to make introductions and to get things started.
All right, we have a very special guest on Compassion Radio today, someone who has been, as we'll put it today, a very significant part of the Christian radio family in Southern California for a number of years, but whose life was touched by deep tragedy twice. And she has discovered the wonderful providence of God, comfort, and the capacity of God to work for good, even though conditions in life may be difficult. Her name is Ann Aragon. She was known locally as Engineer Annie. And we'll let you describe what that was all about. But Ann Aragon, welcome to Compassion Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
And tell us just a little bit about why it is that they were calling you Engineer Annie. And still do.
Well, I had the privilege of being Frank Pastore's engineer on a local Christian radio show, and I got to push his buttons, as we say, for 8 out of the 9 years that his show was on the air before he passed.
I referred to a couple of tragedies just briefly, because so many listeners to Compassion Radio are a long way from Southern California.
Sure.
Speak to us about Frank Pastore and a little bit about the story that it would be easy to describe as a tragedy.
Frank Pastore was a local Christian radio host. He had a background in baseball. He was a baseball pitcher for years and brought to the Lord through an amazing set of events and really was a focus and a champion for Christian apologetics. He was involved in a motorcycle accident that sent him into a coma, and eventually the Lord brought him home, and he passed away and is now with our Lord. And that was a huge loss for myself, Frank's family, obviously, and for the Christian community.
Yeah, that's very true. It was a shocking event. It happened with such suddenness. No one was prepared for that, certainly not his own family, but also the professional family that worked with him. You mentioned that he was a baseball player. He actually pitched for the Cincinnati Reds in the National League. I remember when he was pitching for the Reds, and he would pitch against the Dodgers, and I always rooted against Frank.
Yes, and it was one of the games against the Dodgers in which the fateful pitch hit and shattered his elbow and really impacted his baseball career in a negative way. But it was during that searching time and that place of darkness where his career wasn't going well for baseball that God really used that dark time to bring him to the Lord and surround him with Christians that challenged him to prove Christianity wrong. And in trying to do that, he actually came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus.
And as you mentioned, Anne, he became quite the apologist for the Christian faith. He was educated in college and university, even at the graduate level in that area and so forth, and was a great witness for the faith. So he was a terrific loss to the community. Just briefly, I'd like to ask you about the relationship between an engineer and the talent who is the on-air personality. That can be a close relationship, not in any sense out of character of anything that Christ would not be honored in, but it's easy to have a strong link, isn't it, between the engineer and the person that is the personality on air.
Absolutely. It's definitely a team with the producer, myself, the engineer, and the talent. Those three people work hand in hand every day as part of a team to produce the show, to discuss topics for the show, to book guests, to push the buttons for the show, and to work together as a team for the aim of broadcasting the show and having people come to know Christ and walk closer with Christ. And so I was honored to be a part of that close-knit team with Frank and with our producer.
That's right. Well, the station that we are carried on here in Southern California certainly is a beacon of light in terms of apologetics for, in favor of, and in relation to non-Christians and so forth. And they do a tremendous job. And the same situation existed at that other station where you work. But Engineer Annie, as people called you,
yes.
Not long after the death of Frank, you experienced another tragedy, this one much more personal in nature. Could you tell our listeners about it?
Sure. In March of 2012, my husband, Mark Aragon, was diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma cancer and went through a series of surgeries, radiation treatments, experienced some healing there. We were grateful for a wonderful summer together. But in the beginning of 2013, the cancer returned and the stage 3 went to stage 4 melanoma cancer. And it went to his lungs, and unfortunately, my husband went to go be with the Lord on March 5th.
You know, that was so much more significant, but nevertheless, those were two very difficult events that happened in rather close proximity. And I'll bet you felt like, at least on one level, you were being hit with a sledgehammer by the tragedies of life. Did you struggle with that in some sense? Did you ask questions of God? Why has this happened to me? Am I out of your will? Is there something wrong? Are you punishing me? All of the questions that I'm sure people ask when they go through that kind of experience, do they occur to you too?
I think on some level they did occur, and I've definitely ask those questions of the Lord in my past when I've gone through deep depression or when I've had personal struggles. For example, my grandfather, when he was diagnosed and died of Parkinson's disease, when my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, I've been in those dark places before. And I feel like in the past, I haven't responded very well to that. And I've learned from those experiences. I didn't walk away completely from the Lord, but I just had those deep, dark periods of questioning, and I walked away from the disciplines of walking with the Lord, that my time in the Word or my time in prayer. And I feel like God has equipped me through those struggles to respond differently this time. And this is unique in the sense that this was the biggest, hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life, the losing of my husband. So I say that, hopefully I can say that in humility. I haven't had those deep, dark struggles and those questions of the Lord. I don't judge anyone that has them. I think that they're normal to walk through and to respond that way. But I feel God has equipped me not to question Him in this choice to bring Mark to the Lord in heaven with Him at this time. And I trust that God is using this, and I see God using Mark's death for part of his legacy, the legacy of Mark Aragon and the legacy of the Lord, and the ministry is continuing. And so because I see that, I am able to trust God. And in the moment that Mark passed away, it was the Holy Spirit in me, and I say this in humility, I was able to raise my hands to the Lord and say, "You give and you take away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's straight out of Job. And I feel like in some ways I have been a female Job in these last years, as you mentioned. The experience of the loss of Frank and now the loss of my deepest love, my deepest companion on this earth. But I was able to give glory to God and realize He is sovereign over all of this. And yes, we get involved in the details and the experience of loss, but I'm able to take a step back and realize this is not just about Mark. This is not just about me, but God is doing something bigger here. And I see that purpose, and I know and I trust God for that purpose, even in the midst of tears and pain and sorrow and hurt and loss. I'm able to trust God, and I give God the glory for that. He gets the glory for that because he has equipped me because of my past struggles to come to that place.
You know, I can't help but think of a wonderful statement in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament about faith that refers to faith as the evidence of things not seen. There are things that happen to us in life that are like that, where we have to believe, or we are given the opportunity, or that we are challenged to believe, even though we cannot see any evidence in terms of the circumstances of our life that would necessarily shout to us, God loves you and he's with you and all of that. I think that's such a profound way to put it. Let me ask you a question that I think is very important. I've never experienced that kind of hammering from life circumstances as you have. But what I've found is that when you have a community of believers around you, it really does make a difference. And someone, I can't remember who it was, once made the statement that there are times when we find it very difficult to continue to believe. And in those circumstances, those who are around us, who are part of the body of Christ, actually believe for us, or raise the level of belief by their encouragement and presence and expressions of love. Does that ring true to your experience?
Absolutely. And I would give God the glory for that. And I would thank all of the people. I have an amazing support system in my church, in my family, in my radio family. I have so many believers lifting me up in prayer, and I feel that strength. I think the strength that I have in me, not that I'm strong every day, but the strength that I do have is absolutely a result of the many, many believers that are lifting me up in prayer and lifting our whole family up in prayer during this time of loss. And I'm grateful for them.
So grateful indeed to those who lift us up in prayer. We'll get right back to Norm and our special guest, Ann Aragon, in just a moment. By the way, the music you're hearing in the background features Ann's husband, Mark, playing drums with his band, The Average Jazz Band. Call us at 1-800-868-2478 or reach us online at CompassionRadio.com. Now, back to the interview.
We really are, as the scripture teaches, we are part of the body of Christ. We are the hands, the fingers. We are various parts of a whole body. It occurs to me, my dad used to say, my late father, who was also a very well-known broadcaster and passed away a little over a decade now, but he used to say, when I get a wound, let's say on my hand, perhaps I cut myself or something, he says, in a very real sense, I can see all of the healing parts and components of my body rushing to that wound to provide healing for it. I thought it was an interesting sort of visual image that he used. Does that make sense to you? I'm very happy, very glad. In fact, I wish I was even more profoundly aware at all times of what it means to be part of the body and the healing power that the body has.
Yes, and that healing power is coming from people all over. That it's not even always just people that I know directly, but it's friends of friends, or that we as a body can support one another, and the network of churches, that it isn't even always from my church alone, but other people as a body surrounding me and Mark's family at this time and just praying for us.
I'd like to ask you right now, if you would speak to people who are listening to this syndicated program across the United States by the internet all over the world, who somehow believe that all they need is Christian television, or all they need is to listen to Christian radio, but never connect with a church, a local congregation of believers and so forth. And who, if tragedy such as you have experienced, or tragedy of any kind, were to suddenly invade their lives, would have no place to go, except maybe to, you know, to continue to listen to Christian radio or to watch Christian TV. But they would not have that resource of relationships within a congregation, a physical element of the body of Christ. Would you tell them how important that is, speaking out of your experience?
It is key to the healing, because there's something healing in touch, I believe. God gives us that touch, right? And Christian radio is a wonderful ministry, but I can't reach out and get a hug from my Christian radio, right? But there's healing in that power of the touch and the hugs and the people laying hands on me and praying for me. And there's healing work in saying, can you come over and let's have dinner together and let's break bread and let's eat and let's pray. And can you come over? I need to move because of my situation and I need people to put things in boxes for me and move to a storage unit or move to a new location. Without that body of Christ, none of those would be possible. If we just had prayer, yes, that's wonderful, and I'm grateful for that prayer support, but I long for those hugs. I long for that touch. Yeah. I long to have a place called home and to really know the depth of those relationships. Not just, yeah, I'm praying for you, but how are you today? What is going on? How are you sleeping? Mm-hmm. What can I practically do to help you? And to be humble in those times of loss and receive the help and the love from my fellow believers. And that comes through actual church and actual relationships.
We acknowledge that there are shut-ins who don't have the ability to, you know, to physically get to church and have that sort of physical firsthand relationship, although there are ways to overcome that. But
right.
I think what you've said is so important and so compelling. Just briefly describe Mark, would you? I know he was a very enthusiastic musician and very talented one.
Yes, he was an excellent musician. He loved to play the drums. He also knew how to play keyboards. And he is a funny guy. He was a very funny guy with a wicked sense of humor in the sense that he had a pun at every turn. He would often tell a pun and leave the room and just leave you wondering what just happened. A wonderful sense of humor, a wonderful heart for the Lord, and a wonderful talent. He was talented not only in the music realm, but in the technical realm. He knew how to run lighting and soundboards, and God used him in ministry and churches in that way. And Mark was just a people person. He had a way of getting people to get involved in their local church and be involved and volunteer. And when Mark asked you, it was hard to say no. It was hard to say no if Mark said, hey, because he believed in you. And he said, you can do this. You can run this lighting board. You can run this soundboard. You can come and run a camera for us. And I'm going to teach you how to do it. But I'm going to teach you not only how to do it, but I'm going to teach you why we do it and where the heart for God is. That in running that camera, running that soundboard, or pushing those buttons on that soundboard, or in the musical talent realm, in the worship leading, we are leading people to God, and that is the heart, and that's why we volunteer, and that's why we help. So that was my husband, just a wonderful man with a wonderful sense of humor, a wonderful people person, and also a heart for the poor. We would have many people, several people that would come to our church in the local area and just need a room to stay the night, or need a meal, and Mark was always the one that would just take them for that meal. And he would not only buy them that meal, he would sit down and eat with them and connect with them and follow up with them. And there are people walking around our church today that are employed and loving God and free from their addictions and volunteering at the church because Mark Aragon was used by God there.
My goodness.
And that was my husband.
What a legacy.
Yes.
And once again, I'm thinking of our listeners and thinking about husbands and wives and what Anne was able to say about Mark, her husband, who is now, you know, with the Lord. What a beautiful tribute to be able to speak of him in such terms. And I ask the question, if you were to pass, I'm not speaking to Anne right now, I'm speaking to the listeners. If you were to pass away, if you were to go and be with the Lord, you would be fine. You would be with Jesus. And that's a far better place than here. But what would your legacy be? What would your wife who had lost you, or your husband who lost you, what would they say about you? What would they miss about you? What contribution is it that you have made and would be remembered for? I think it's important to think about your legacy. I think about it all the time, at my age. It's become increasingly a driving factor in what I do and what I say and the way I minister. Let me just ask one more thing of you. Engineer Annie, you're working in a different field. You're not in Christian radio anymore. Briefly tell us, what are you doing?
I did leave Christian radio. I went back and got my master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and I now work full-time as a marriage and family therapist. I work full-time with children, and then I work part-time at my church, working with couples, adults, and children.
Well, I must say, you are a model for all of us, and certainly a model for anyone who has experienced a very significant loss within their family of a spouse or whoever. God has been with you and has given you the energy and the drive and the ambition to serve Him in a very different way and to use your experience of grief to bring comfort and wisdom and counsel to others who are going through grief on their level and in whatever way that grief has come to be. I want to add one thing. One reason why you're here today is that our engineer, Jim Governale, has known you for years. He has worked with you in Christian radio. All I can say is for Jim, reference to Engineer Annie, to Ann Aragon, is definitely a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you what I think is a really important question, and one that you can answer with tremendous spiritual power, I believe. I was in a place recently, and the cab driver who was taking me to my hotel, it turns out, is a Buddhist. He does not know Jesus Christ. In fact, he is resistant of any kind of religion, although he said, "I listen to you every day." We have non-Christians, non-believers who listen to this program every day. You have a message for them. What is it?
Yes, I do. We are not promised tomorrow. And the Bible talks about that God knows the number of our days. And never have I known that more than now. Because my husband wasn't promised tomorrow and he wasn't given tomorrow. And God is sovereign in all of that and we trust him in all of that. But at Mark's funeral, our pastor was able to get up on the podium and say, we are sure of where Mark is now. Not because of all of these good works that he has done, but because he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And these works and this legacy that he has is because of his gratitude for his salvation. But we know he is with the Lord because he has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I just want to say to any non-believers that are out there right now, we are not promised tomorrow. Yeah. Choose this day whom you will serve, and please consider the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him. And the Bible says if you are faithful to ask the Lord to come into your life, then he will do so. And he will change your life and he will bless you with that salvation. And I would just challenge you, get your questions asked, come to the Lord, keep seeking after him, but make a decision. Don't put it off, because today is all we have. This moment is all we have. And we are sure where Mark is, and could we be so sure about you? God forbid the Lord had you have your final day today.
How beautifully said. I want to thank you for joining us on Compassion Radio. I think that's a good name for what we've been talking about today.
Thank you. Praise God.
And this broadcast is from our vast program archive.
It's a thought that never ceases to move me. If you discovered an abandoned baby at your doorstep, would you take it in? Would you care for it? Would you give it love and make certain that its life was protected and preserved? Of course you would. As a Christian, you honor the divine gift of life, and you would preserve the life of the innocent child when it's within your power to do so. Well, my friend, there is an innocent abandoned baby at your doorstep today, and it's within your power to protect and preserve its life. Oh, it's not a matter of adopting a baby long-term. It is a matter of giving it the chance that baby needs to survive the initial crisis of being tossed into a garbage dumpster or left in a doorway or placed along the side of a street or highway. You can rescue that child, can't you? And maybe you can rescue more than one child. After all, that's the pro-life, Christ-honoring thing to do. You see, my friend, Compassion Radio and our ministry partners like you have played an indispensable role in saving the lives of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa. We purchased the very first safe suburban home outside a very dangerous drug-infested inner-city core where infants, on average 30 of them every month, were found gasping for air and grasping for life in garbage dumpsters. I wonder, how much will you give to save a baby's life, or perhaps several lives? Oh, send your gift now to keep the Door of Hope Project going. Your most generous contribution is nothing less than a matter of life and death. Thank you so much from the Door of Hope Project, and also from the baby at your doorstep.
Please give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Reach us by mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or give safe and secure online at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll join you again tomorrow for our next edition of Compassion Radio.